Okay, we're starting here on the top of Lamed Aleph by the Gemara. The Mishnah discussed what it considered to be the layout of the laning for the different days. Now we're going to move to the Gemara. The Gemara actually is going to quote a Braita. A Braita, as Rashi points out, and I mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday, that the Braita is written in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it only gives you the dinim with regards to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara, which is the Gemara Bavli, obviously needs to deal with the fact that there is a second day of Yom Tov. And so what ends up happening is that the Gemara is going to interject in the middle of the Braita to explain what would happen on the second day of Yom Tov. So you have interspersed in the middle of a Braita, you have the Gemara coming in and adjusting and telling us what would be the case on these days, the second day of Yom Tov. And then in each of these cases, then the Gemara concludes with what is our practice today. And then we'll discuss each of those once we get to the practice today, whether that really is our practice, or whether our practice differs somewhat from the Gemara says here. So Gemara says, Tanu Banan pePesach. Gemara is going to start out with what we read on Pesach. Korin, bePashat HaMoadot, uMaftirin bePesach Gilgal. So we read from Pashat HaMoadot, which we saw in our Mishnah, refers to Pashat HaMor. So you read all of the Moadot that are found in Pashat HaMor, starting with Shabbat and then into Pesach. And Haftorah comes from Yehoshua, which discusses the Korban HaPesach that is brought by Bnei Yisrael once they enter into Eretz Yisrael. Vayidna, so here's the Gemara's interjection, which is Vayidna Dika Trei Yome. Today, where we have 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutzaritz, Yom HaKama Pesach Gilgal, Udmachar BePesach Yoshiyahu. So the first day we read about the Korban HaPesach in Gilgal from Yoshua, and the second day we read about the Korban HaPesach from Yoshiyahu. So it just happens to be that in terms of the Haftorot, that the options for reading on Pesach, if you're talking about Korban HaPesach in Tanakh, now within the Torah, we're going to come back and discuss where it appears in the Torah, because that's going to be relevant for the reading during the days of Pesach. But as far as Nach is concerned, you have the Korban HaPesach that is found in Gilgal, the one by Yehoshua. We have a Korban HaPesach that is found in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We have a Korban Pesach in the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. We have a Korban HaPesach that's in the time of Ezra. You have the Korban HaPesach that's mentioned in Sefer Yechezkel, which our Mishnah actually mentioned as a possibility as to what we would read. But as far as our real options, because, first of all, Ezra and the one with Chizkiyahu were mentioned in the Ketuvim. So therefore, in terms of the Navi, things that are options for Haftorah, you have the Sefer Yoshua, the Korban HaPesach there, and you have the Korban HaPesach that's found by Melech Yoshiyahu. So those two options are what we use for the Haftarot of Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, and the second day of Pesach. V'shar Yemot HaPesach, on the remaining days of Pesach, Melaket, V'kore Minyano Shel Pesach. We collect up and we read from all of the different topics of Pesach. Mayhi, what is that? Amar Papa, Mapo, Siman. The Siman is Mapo, which are the places where it turns out that we read from in terms of the Korban HaPesach. We're going to come back and discuss this because the Gemara is going to change it, but just for Mapo is Mem, comes from Mishchu Chu, which is from Parshat Bo, Parshat of the Korban HaPesach that is found in Parshat Bo. The Aleph is Im Kesif Talveh Tami, which is in Parshat Mishpatim. The Pei is Psal Lecha, which is found in Parshat Kitisa. And the Vav is Vayidaber, which is found in Parshat Balotcha. And then, as Rashi points out over here, but we'll come back and discuss this, Yom Tov Sheni Korim Ki Yom Rishon Shor Kesef. On the second day of Yom Tov, you read like the first day, which is Shor Kesef, which is what our Braita said over here, that the first day of Yom Tov, you read Parshat HaModot from Parshat Emor. And then on the second day, Rashi says, you would repeat that and read from Parshat Emor again. And the only thing that changes, based on the Gemara, would be the Haftorah. The first day you would have the Haftorah from Yoshua, the second day you would have the Haftorah from Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So that's what the Gemara lays out. Then, Yom Tov Acharon Shel Pesach, on the final day of Pesach, Korin Vayhi B'Shalach, you read from Parshat B'Shalach about Kriyat Yam Suf, because that is the day on which Kriyat Yam Suf takes place, as Yeshua said, on the seventh day of Pesach. Umaftirim Vayidaber David. And Haftorah is Vayidaber David. Now really, in the Navi, you have two options in terms of Shirah to read. You can read Shirat Devorah, or you can read Shirat David. So what turns out is that we actually do that. We read for Parshat Bishalach, when we read it during the year, we read for the Haftarah, we read the Shirat Devorah. When we read Parshat Bishalach on Pesach, then instead of reading the Shirat Devorah, we read Shirat David. And as Rashi notes over here, that the reason we do that, I mean, why do we pick Shirat Devorah by Bishalach and then Shirat David by Pesach, is because there is relevance to Shirat David to Pesach, because it mitaber ba mitziat Mitzrayim. Inside of Shirat David, it says, Aleh Hashem ba'apo, v'yishlach hitzav v'yifitzeim. There are psukim in there that seem to be referencing Yitziat Mitzrayim and Kriyat Yom Suf, and therefore it's relevant or more appropriate to read Shirat David on the Parshat Bishalach that we read on Pesach, and we read Shirat Devorah on the Parshat Bishalach that we read during the year. We do read Shirat David again, sometimes when we have it on Parshat Hazinu, that we read Shirat David associated with Parshat Hazinu as well. So that's in terms of the seventh day of Pesach. Then when it comes to the eighth day of Pesach, on the eighth day of Pesach, Ulamachar, Kola Bechor, you read from Parshat Re'eh, Kola Bechor, Umaftirin, Odayom Benov. Then we read from Odayom Benov, as Rashi says again, that's relevant to Pesach, the fish, Shemapotoshon Sancheret, below Pesach Haya. Because the destruction of Sancheret, when he leads his siege to Yerushalayim in the time of Chizkiyahu Melech, takes place on Pesach. And therefore, it's relevant to read it on Pesach. So, Etzin Chutzlaritz, and Chutzlaritz, they read Pashat Re'eh, Kola Bechor, for the 8th day of Pesach, and they read the Torah of Odayom Benov. That's why the Rabbanut Rashit, when they put together what they thought might be the Kriya for Yom HaAtzmaut, then in Eretz Yisrael, those people that have that practice read the Haftorah from Odayom Benov. They actually took that Haftorah, and instead of using it for the 8th day of Pesach, they use it for Yom HaAtzmaut. Amar Abaye, Vayidna. What's our practice today? So this is the practice day, which is Noga Alma Mikre. This is what we read today. Now you have to think about it. In terms of Pesach, the way that we end up reading on Pesach, meaning both from the first day of Pesach through all of Chol HaMoed, except for the seventh day of Pesach, is that basically we go through the whole Torah and we find all the places that Pesach is mentioned, and we read from those areas where Pesach is mentioned. So the places where Pesach is mentioned in the Torah, it's more plentiful, more numerous than any other holiday. So first you have the actual story of the Pesach and the Korban Pesach and Parshat Bo. In Bo itself, you also have a second time, which is written in the Parshiot at the end of Parshat Bo, which are actually found in the Tefillin, which are Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, and Vayakev Yecha, at the end of Parshat Bo. You have, again, after that, you have the Korban Pesach that is mentioned, or Pesach, which is mentioned in Parshat Mishpatim, where we talk about the Shlosh Regalim. And that ends with Lo Tefashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. We have those exact same psukim kimat in Parshat Kitisa. So here you have Mishpatim, then Kitisa. As you move into Vayikra, you have Pesach mentioned in Parshat Emor, with the Parshat HaMoadot. When you move into Sefer Bamidbar, you have Pesach mentioned in Parshat Balotcha, which is Pesach Sheni, the story of Pesach Sheni that's found there. And if you move into Sefer Dvarim, Pesach is found in Parshat Re'eh. So if I look at the layout, which Abai is going to suggest now, it's basically we're going to go through all those locations that you have Korban HaPesach that's mentioned in the Torah. That's what we're going to end up reading in terms of the days of Pesach. And it will turn out that it's similar, the reading is very similar in Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. Since we're changing the laning every day in both locations, we end up reading the same thing, except of course for the eighth day, where in Chutz Laaretz they have Kriyat the Torah, where we don't have it in Eretz Yisrael. So then Abai says, Vayid Nana Ugalma, the Mikre. This is what we read. So it says Mashach. So Mashach is Mishchu Ukhu, which is Parshat Bo, which is our practice on the first day of Pesach. We read from Parshat Bo about the Korban HaPesach, about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Then it says, on day two, we read Torah. Torah is Shor HaKesef. Shor HaKesef is Parshat Emor. The Parshat Emodot in Parshat Emor. Then we read, in Chutz Laaretz, they read the full five aliyot from it because it's a Yom Tov. And in Eretz Yisrael, they read four aliyot from it because it's Chol HaMoed. Then on the third day, we read Kadesh. Kadesh Likol Bechor at the end of Parshat Bo. Then on the fourth day, we read Bekaspo. Kaspo is in Kesef Talvet Ami, which is the part of Mishpatim in which the Shloshet Regalim are found. Then on the fifth day, we read Psal Lecho. Psal Lecho, which is the Parshat Kitisa, where you found the Shlosh Regalim. Then on the sixth day we read B'midbara. B'midbara is Pashat Balutcha, where we talk about Pesach Sheni. Then on the seventh day we read Shlach, which is Pashat Bishalach, which is Kriyat Yam Suf. And then on the eighth day in Chutzar, it's to read Bukhra, which is Kol HaBechor from Pashat Re'eh. So here Abai lays out for us what basically is our practice. This is what we read in terms of Pesach. Tosafot over here notes that this works out except with one exception, which is, it's an interesting issue. We know that as far as Pesach is concerned, lo badu Pesach. Pesach cannot fall out on a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So here you have then four other possibilities of when Pesach can fall out. So one possibility of when Pesach will fall out is then it starts on Shabbat. If Pesach starts on Shabbat, then there is no Shabbat Chol HaMoed, because the first day of Pesach is Shabbat, and then the Pesach will end. The seventh day of Pesach will be then on a Friday, and there will be no Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach. The other possibility is that Pesach starts on a Sunday. If Pesach starts on a Sunday as well, there is also no Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach, because the final day of Pesach will be Shabbat itself, which will be the seventh day of Pesach. So in those two instances, there's actually no Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach. We'll see why this is relevant in a second. Then, the remaining two possibilities of when Pesach can turn out is on Tuesday or on Thursday. So then, if you look in the top Tosafot, he says, Omeri, dezeh seder lo ishtaneh, this seder that Abai lays out will never change, rak shechal Pesach ha-yom chamishi. The only time it changes is when Pesach falls out on a Thursday. Because if Pesach falls out on a Tuesday, then Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach will be the fifth day of Pesach. It'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shabbat is the fifth day. And what the Gemara lays out over here is that the fifth reading is Psal Lecha, which is Parshat Ki Tisa. And that's actually our practice. Our practice is that we always read from Parshat Ki Tisa, Psal Lecha, on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach. So tell us what it says. There's only one exception to that rule. We just laid out here there are four possibilities of how Pesach can fall out. Well, in terms of if Pesach falls out on Shabbat or Sunday, it's not relevant. There is no Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach. So therefore, the order holds. If it falls out on a Tuesday, then the fifth reading is coincides with Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach, and that's what we read, Psal Lecha. The only time you have to change it is when it falls out on a Thursday. And that's what Tosafot says, that if Pesach falls out on a Thursday, then, when it comes to Shabbat, which is the third day, we end up reading Psal Lecha, which is the Kriyat HaTorah for Shabbat Chol HaMoed, both for Pesach and for Sukkot. And then he says, we rearrange it in order to make that word. Sh'alef bet korim Mashach Torah. The first day we read Mishchu Chu from Bo. The second day we read Emor. Uviyom HaShlishi, Shabbat Chol HaMoed, Korin Re'ei, Ata Umer Eli. Then we read from Re'ei, Ata Umer Eli, from Pashat Kitisa. And Psal Lecha is subsumed in that reading. So then we move back and we read the remainder of the items that are mentioned over here. So there it's the only time we have to make an adjustment to what Abai says is when Pesach falls out on a Thursday that you have to adjust in order to move the Psal Lecha or the Re'eh Ata Omer Eli that we read from Pashat Ki Tisa, we read on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach. So that's the only adjustment to what was mentioned over here. So now, the Braita moves on to the next thing, which is Batzeret, Shavuot. What do we read on Shavuot? So the first thing the Braita, the Tanakhama says, is Shiva Shavuot. Shiva Shavuot is from Pashat Re'eh. That's what our Mishnah mentioned also as the reading for Pashat, for Shavuot. Umaftirin, and you read the Haftorah from Chavakuk. So the Haftorah in Chavakuk is because it talks about Matan Torah. Elukami Teman Yavo. So that's the description of Hashem coming and approaching from all the different nations. So that's it described in Chavakuk, and therefore it's the appropriate Haftorah for Shavuot. Acherim Omrim. Now we have another opinion, which is that you read B'chodesh HaShilishi, that we read from Parshat Yitro, describing the actual Matan Torah. U'maftirin B'merkava. And Haftorah comes from the first parak in Yechezkel of Maaseh HaMerkava, which is a revelation of God. It's similar to the revelation that we have at Har Sinai. So too, we read about a revelation that takes place in the Maaseh HaMerkava. Vayidna, the Ikatre Yome. Here again, you have the interjection of the Gemara about, we have 2 days of Yom Tov. Avdinun Kitarvayu. Therefore, we paskin like both of them. We read like the Tanakama and the Achirim, except the Ibcha. We flip it around. Why do we flip it around? As Rashi says, well, it makes sense to read about Matan Torah on the 6th of Sivan, which was the day of Shavuot, and not on the 7th day of Sivan. So we flip it around and we read for the first day, we read from Parshat Yitro, B'chodesh HaShlishi, and we read the Av Torah from Maseh Merkava. On the second day, we read from Parshat Re'eh and from Chavakuk. Now, again, in Eretz Yisrael, we're only going to read the first day, so it'll turn out that that's our practice, which is we read from Parshat Yitro on the first day, and we have the Av Torah from the Maseh Merkava. Now we move on to the next holiday. After that, after Shavuot, will be Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah, it says here, we read from B'chodesh HaShivi'i, that is found in Pashat Pinchas, U'maftirin HaBen Yakir LiEfraim. And we read from HaBen Yakir LiEfraim as the Haftorah for Rosh Hashanah, and that's because there it mentions Zachor Ezkerenu, Rachem HaRachamenu, it's Yom HaZikaron, and therefore it's appropriate to read from that part of Yirmiyahu for the Haftorah, V'yeshomrim. And now we have an alternate opinion as to what you read on Rosh Hashanah, which is V'ashem Pekad Etzarah. That we read V'ashem Pekad Etzarah, Maftirim V'chana. So that's the other possibility, which is we read about Sarah and Chana, V'idna. Again, the interjection of the Gemara, the Ikatrei Yome. Since we have 2 days, Yom Kama Ki Yeshomrim. The first day we read like the Yeshomrim. The Yeshomrim is Hashem Pekad Etzarah. And about Chana, the first parak in Shmuel Aleph. And then L'machar, on the second day of Yom Tov, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the only time both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz there is 2 days of Yom Tov, then we read V'elukim Nisad Avraham, we read from the Akedah, U'maftirin Ben Yakir LeEfraim, and then we have the Torah Ben Yakir LeEfraim, which is actually our practice today. The reason we read about Sarah and Chana on the first day is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. If you remember, it says that B'Rosh Hashanah Nifkida Sarah, Rachel V'Chana. That on Rosh Hashanah, they were, either they conceived, or they had the Gzeira to be conceived on that day of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's relevant to read those Parshiot, because that's the day, meaning the importance of the day as being a day where we are having the decree of the following year, and where things that are important, life and death, are decided, so that Hashem Nifkada Sarah and Chana on Rosh Hashanah is relevant to the day itself. And therefore we read from Vashem Pekad Etzarah and about Chana and Haftorah. And then on the second day we read from Elokim Nifsat Avraham, from the Akedah, because we want the Schut of the Akedah to come before Hashem in our judgment. And therefore we read about the Akedah to bring that Schut in our favor. And then we have the Haftorah Ben Yakir LeEfraim, as we explained before, because of Zachor Ezkerenu, that Yom HaZikaron, that it's relevant to read. When does the Haftorah come in? It seems it was put in place at a point in time that there was some difficulty with reading the Torah. They weren't allowed to read the Torah, and they used the Haftorah to fill in for the reading of the Torah, and then they left the Gzeirah in place afterwards. When that Gzeirah took place, I don't have a good hold on. There are others that suggest that the Haftorah was a development as a response to those factions that believed only the Torah was considered to be Kitvei HaKodesh and not Nevi'im Ketuvim. They instituted reading the Navi in order to put it on par, quote-unquote, with the Torah, that was also Kitvei HaKodesh, to negate those factions that were suggesting otherwise. B'Yom HaKippurim Korim, on Yom Kippur we read, Achrei Mot, U'maftirim, Ki Ko Amar, Ram V'Nitza. So we read from Parshat Achrei Mot. Over there makes sense, because we read from the Parsha that deals with the Avodat Yom HaKippurim and the Kohen Gadol. So that is the Kriyat HaTorah. In terms of the Haftorah, we read from Komar Aram Nisa, which is a solo solo. So Panu Derech, in that Hashem is coming through, make way, clear the way out, do tshuva. So it's a Haftorah that is appropriate for Yom HaKippurim. Ube Mincha, and Mincha and Yom Kippur, Korin Ba'arayot, read about Parshat Arayot, Umaftirin B'Yona, and bring the Haftorah of Yona. Now in terms of Mincha, reading the Arayot at Mincha, that's also very interesting, not so straightforward, not so easy why we read it. I mean, it is nice that it just happens to be the Parsha that is a little bit after the Parsha we read in the morning. We read from Parsha Achrimot in the morning. In between, you have a small section of the Torah which deals with Shchut Echutz and things that are outside the Mikdash, improper bringing of Korbanot. And then afterwards, you have the Parsha of Arayot, which we actually read at Mincha time. So it's actually, in a sense, a continuation of what we read in the morning. But all the Rishonim here ask, why is it that we read Parshat Arayot and Mincha on Yom HaKippurim? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says here, Lefi Sharayot Avera Mitzuya. That's an Avera that is commonly found amongst the people. Nafsho Shel Adam Machmadatan V'Yitzro Tokfo. Something that people are driven after. Since it's a common Avera, we put emphasis on it on Yom Kippur that people should do tshuva and they should rectify and they should deal with this Avera because it's a commonplace Avera. So that's why Rashi says that we read the Parshat Arayot on Yom HaKippurim. It's because it needs addressing. And so therefore we put it at the forefront of what needs to be addressed in Yom Kippur because it's such a common Avera. Tosafot over here brings two other possibilities as to why we read Arayot and Mincha on Yom HaKippurim. The first is Lefisha Nashim Mikushatot Bishvil Kvodayom. It says because the women get all dressed up and made up to come to shul because it's a Yom Tov, it's a special day. But one of the Chamesh Dinuim on Yom HaKippurim is the Easter of Tashmish Amita. So therefore, in order to remind people Shalo Yikashlu Bazeh, that they won't make a mistake, we read for Parshat Arayot. It's a little difficult because we're reading about it on Mincha on Yom HaKippurim. Doesn't seem to be the appropriate time to address the issue, but that's what Tosafot brings as one of the reasons. And then he brings from a midrash, a second possibility as to why we read about Parshat Arayot then, is because it's a remez to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's actually a nice thought, which is, it says over here, Kashem Shehirs Otam Shelo Legalot Erva, just like Hashem commanded us not to Legalot Erva, to reveal the Erva, which is the way that we describe Arayot over here. So too, we say to Hashem, Lo Tigle Ervatam Ba'avonotam. Can you be gentle with us and not expose our Erva of our sins? So over here, it's a nice idea, but this idea that Hashem, you know, please protect us from our embarrassment, from our not being able to do everything right. So don't expose all of that, just like you asked us not to quote-unquote, expose the erva, which is the way that the Torah euphemistically deals with arayot. So too, we say to Hashem, can you also do the same for us and not expose our sins, and please forgive us for what we have done? Others suggest that it has to do with, I think it's the Machzor Vitri that mentions, we have two different Kriyot HaTorah on Yom HaKippurim, the morning Kriyot HaTorah, which deals with the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, and then we have the Kriyot HaTorah in the afternoon, which deals with arayot, which is representative of the two different types of mitzvot that we have, which are chukim and mishpatim. One of the classic types of a chok, a mitzvah that we do that has no reason to it, the Gemara cites as a classic example of that is parah adumah and sa'ir lazazel. Sa'ir lazazel is one of those mitzvot which the Gemara in Yoma says that the nations of the world are going to make fun of you that you do it because it seems to have no reason. It seems to be almost antithetical to all of our belief that we worship one God, and here we're sending an animal out into the midbar and throwing it out. It's one of the chukim. On the other hand, Parshat Arayot is a very basic parsha, one of the basic tenets we call natural law, something that is explainable, easy to understand in terms of the Easter Arayot, and therefore we read that in the afternoon. We read both types of mitzvot. We read something that represents the mitzvot that are chukim, and we read something that represents the mitzvot that are mishpatim. So that's why we read both of these parshiot on Yom HaKippurim, something that represents each of those, I would say, quintessential type of mitzvot, a quintessential chok and a quintessential mishpat. That's another reason given for why we read Parshat Arayot on the afternoon of Yom HaKippurim. Now, just here as a sidebar, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which, for those who say, Vayitan Lecha on Motzei Shabbat, we quote this memra from the Gemara here in Megillah of Rabbi Yochanan. It's brought down here because of Ko Amram Raminisad of Torah that we read on Yom HaKippurim itself, which is Ko Makom Shata Motzei Gvurato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata Motzei Anvatanuto. Every place that you find the greatness, I mean, the tremendous greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over there you also find his humility or his humbleness. That there is a contrast in all of these situations. It's a contrast in the sense that despite Hashem's greatness and how amazing and unbelievable Hashem is, nevertheless, he doesn't forget about the little ones. It's an important fact in the Torah. Here, the Gemara is going to say that it's found in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, but it's something that's very important. It was, I would say, in the time of the Torah, when Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, it's a social revolution, what is being stated here. The Yitomim and the Almanot, those that were the downtrodden of society, those that were on the lowest echelons of society, in that time, they were basically mistreated. They were thrown out. There was nobody to protect them, meaning without a man to protect the almana or the atom, they were taken advantage of by society. There was no social net. There was no social structure that protected them. The Torah comes along and spends a lot of time saying that you must take care of the atom v'almana. So why does the Torah tell you, why do you have to take care of the atom v'almana? Who is the person that's going to protect the atom v'almana? Because they're missing the man of the family. They're missing that male individual who would have protected the family. The Torah says over and over again, it's Hashem. The Hashem is the father of the atom and the husband of the almana, you know, figuratively. It's Hashem. Hashem's the one's there. So if you take advantage or you abuse, misuse the atom v'almana, you're going to pay with Hashem, because Hashem is the one who watches out for them. And that's what this Gemara is actually saying over here, which is despite the greatness of Hashem, Hashem's also the one who takes care of the lowest parts of society, the yatom v'almana, and he makes sure that they're taken care of. It's repeated in Navi, umishulash, and again a third time in the Ktuvim. Ketuv b'Torah, says in the Torah, in Parashat Sefer Devarim, ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokei Elokim v'Adonai Adonim. And he's the God of God, the Master of Masters. Uchti b'Torah, right afterwards it says, Usem mishpat yatom v'almana. He takes care of, he brings justice for the atom v'almana. Again, he's the protector of the atom v'almana. Shanui b'nech divim, it's repeated in Navi, ko amar ram v'nisa. Again, here from Yishayahu, it's the Torah for Yom HaKippurim. Shochenad v'kadosh, el chulei uchti b'trein. It says, v'etekar shvo ruach, that Hashem takes care of those that are broken and of low spirit. Hashem takes care of them. V'shulash b'ktuvim, third time in the Ktuvim, which is diktiv. Solu l'ruchev b'aravot b'kash shemo. So again, he rides in the great heights. Uchti b'trei avi yitomim v'dayan almanot. He's the father of yitomim. He is the adjudicator, the protector of the almanot. So again, what we just mentioned before, that here this is a tremendous revolution that is brought about by the Torah, that Hashem protects the almana and the yitom, and that you think you can take advantage of these people because they have no protectors. Well, Hashem's their protector, and Hashem's going to make sure they're taken care of. So you must take care of them, because that's what Hashem demands of you. Right, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. Now we move on to Sukkot. The regards to Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Korim B'Pashat Mo'adot, you read from Pashat Emor, Shebetorat Kohanim, from Vayikra, U'maftirin. And then we read from Zechariah, which is Heinei Yo Ba Lashem, because over there it mentions the holiday of Sukkot in Sefer Zechariah about the nations, and that's the famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah about the mitzvah latid avod that is given to the other nations as well. So here we talk about the mitzvah of Sukkah in that of Torah from Zechariah. Va'idna di'ika treyome. Again, the Gemara interjects here about Bavel. Today that we have 2 days. B'machar mikre hachanami karinan. We read the same thing on the second day, which is true. They read Parshat Emor. You read Parshat Emor twice. Afturei mayim afterinan. But we do change the haftorah. And what do we read? The Torah is Vayikalu el melech Shlomo, that the people gathered to the Melech Shlomo in order to celebrate the consecration of the Mikdash. That celebration goes for 7 days, and then another 7 days. It's the 7 days prior to Sukkot, and then the second 7 days are Sukkot itself. So therefore, that celebration took place on Sukkot, and it's relevant as a haftarah for Sukkot. V'shar ko yemot ha'chag, for the remainder of the days of Sukkot, korim v'korbanot ha'chag. Then we read from Parshat Pinchas, we read the korbanot, or the korban, that is relevant for each day of Sukkot. Again, with the exception of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Shabbat Chol HaMoed Sukkot, where we read from Pashat Kitisa, similar to what we read on Pesach. Yom Tov Acharon, the last day of Sukkot, meaning Shmini Atzeret, Korim Kol HaBechor, we read from Kol HaBechor, Mitzvot V'Chukim. So not only do you read from Kol HaBechor, but you read from the Mitzvot and Chukim, which is from Aser Ta'aser. You read from further back from Aser Ta'aser, because over there it talks about mitzvot that have to do with the asif, have to do with the bringing in of the produce, the mitzvot of the matnot aniyim, and therefore it's relevant to read about those at that time period of the year. So we don't just start from Kol HaBechor, which is the parsha dealing directly with the Mo'adot, we start from further back in Aser Ta'aser, which in Chutz La'aretz, Here, you always read it from Aseret Aser when it comes to Shmi Atzeret. And the other times that they read from Kol HaBechor, it depends on whether it falls out on Shabbat or not, whether they need the extra Aliyot or not, whether they read from further back or not. Umaftirin. And Haftorah comes, Vayichi Kechalot Shlomo. That the, when a Shlomo finished. And when Shlomo finishes, the Mikdash, and then he davens to Hashem, and then it says there, Ubayom HaShmini, on the eighth day. On the eighth day, Shlomo blesses the people and sends them home. So therefore, again, Shmini Atzeret, it's relevant to read that Haftorah on Shmini Atzeret. Lemachar. Lemachar, which is the ninth day of Sukkot, or what is otherwise known as Simchat Torah. Korin Vizota Bracha. You read Pasha Vizota Bracha. Umaftirin Vayamod Shlomo. And then you read about Vayamod Shlomo. So that's interesting there. It talks about Vayamod Shlomo, that he gave a bracha to the people, that he brings them together, and he davens to Hashem. And that is the Haftorah for Simchat Torah. As Tosfot points out over here, he says, "V'yesh mikamot shenagu lahaftir v'hi b'achrei mot Moshe." Some places seem to have a Torah where they read from v'hi achrei mot Moshe, which is the first parak in Yoshua. He says, "V'shibushu." It's a big mistake. Shari Hashas ain't omerkein. The Gemara doesn't say that. So why would you deviate from what the Gemara says? "V'yesh omrim sherav hai goin tikein lomar v'hi achrei mot Moshe." That was an institution of Rav Haigon to read Vayichi Achrei Mot Moshe from the first parak in Yoshua. Aval einan yodim asvara amai shina seder hashas. But we don't have any reason why he changed what the Gemara mentions over here. So it's very interesting, because here you have a statement in the Gemara that's pretty clear about what they read on Simchat Torah, and yet our minhag totally deviates from that. Not only does it deviate in the sense that we have a different practice, maybe from a Braita, from a Sechet Sofrim, but that doesn't exist there either. It's a practice that seems to have been started from Rav Haigon, and nobody has an explanation as to why we are doing it. Now, this is actually a difficulty that has to be addressed in general about this reading that we have on Simchat Torah. The problem is, and this is the question that is addressed by some of the other Rishonim, which is, why are we reading from Vayamod Shlomo? Why is that the relevant Haftorah for Zota Bracha? So here you have two approaches in the Rishonim as to why this is the Haftorah that was picked. The approach of the Ran is to suggest that it is relevant, because the reading of the day is Vizota Bracha. Zota Bracha is the brachot that Moshe gives at the end of his lifetime, the brachot that he gives to Bnei Yisrael. Whereas the Vayamod Shlomo is also a conclusion of a period of time. And since it's a conclusion of a period of time, and when they're going to be sent home, and there's going to be a bracha given to them, that's also an appropriate reading. So it's just like here, this is the last day of the sequence of the Regel, and we're going to send people off, we want to give them a bracha. So that is the relevant reading for both the last day of Yom Tov, the reading that's associated with Zota Bracha. So that's the Ran's approach to why we read this for the Haftorah Vayamod Shlomo. On the other hand, the Rosh says it has nothing to do with Zota Bracha. So why would you ever read this as the Haftorah for Zota Bracha? Zota Bracha is the completion of the Torah. And then all of a sudden you're reading from Vayamod Shlomo. So what he suggests is that the Maftir that we read is from Pasha Pinchas. We read about Shmini Atzeret in the Maftir. And when we read about Shmini Atzeret in the Maftir, it turns out the halacha is what governs what Haftorah we read has to do what we read the Maftir, what we read for Maftir. Tosafot discusses this with regards to Rosh Chodesh Tevet that falls out on Shabbat. We have an instance where you have Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and Chanukah, and you have to decide which one is the Maftir and which one is the Sixth Aliyah. Tosafot over there says it's worth making Chanukah the Maftir, because then you're going to read the Haftorah from Chanukah, and that'll be Pesume Nisa. Because if you read Rosh Chodesh for the Maftir, then you have to read the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. So we see that there's a connection or correlation between Maftir and what you read for Haftorah. And so that's what the Rosh says over here. Well, if you read Uviyom HaShmini, you read from Parshat Pinchas, the Korban of the eighth day, as the Maftir on Simchat Torah, then it's appropriate to read Vayamod Shlomo, the Bracha, which also deals with this issue of the eighth day, and it is the relevant or proper Haftorah. Now, the question really becomes our practice, which is that we read about the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, Vayi Acharei Mot Moshe. That's what our practice is, to read of the Haftarah. What does that have to do with the Kriyat Torah or the Maftir? Now, as far as the Kriyat Torah, it feels right because we're finishing up the Torah and Yeshua Aleph is the beginning of the Navi. So it feels like there's a connection. Now, even if it feels good, the problem is that we still read from the Maftir, which is the Maftir of Shmini Atzeret. And since we're reading about the Maftir of Shmini Atzeret, then why is that relevant to the Haftorah? So what you have to suggest is something along the lines of what the Ran said, which is that this is a completion or the end of an era. So that's what we have here. Zolta Bracha is the completion of Kriyat HaTorah for that year. It's also the completion of the end of the Torah. The Uveyom HaShmini is the completion of the cycle of the Moadim, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the end of the cycle of the holidays, as well as the final day of Sukkot when we send everybody back home. It's that unique day that's the last day. So then the Haftorah, which is Vayhi Acharei Mot Moshe, Acharei Mot Moshe means that's the end of an era. The end of the era of Moshe, it's the beginning of an era going into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore that might be thematically appropriate, not just the fact that it happens to be that it's the next thing after you finish the Torah, the next thing is Yeshua Aleph, but also thematically appropriate to match it up with the Haftorah, with the Maftir and the Kriyat HaTorah of that day. And that's why maybe it's relevant to read about Vayhi Acharei Mot Moshe. So it has both aspects. It's a continuation of the end of the Kriyat HaTorah into the Navi, but it's also the end of an era and the beginning of a new time, and therefore it might be relevant to read at that point in time. I saw someone who suggested that the reason that our minhag changed is because the Gemara is addressing the original practice by which they used to end either the Torah on the cycle of Eretz Yisrael every 3 years, or they used to finish the Torah at different times during the year. It wasn't a fixed time. They used to finish it between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, not necessarily on Simchat Torah, and therefore Vayomot Shlomo was the Haftarah for that day, because they didn't necessarily finish the Torah on that day. So Zota Bracha was not read because it's the end of the Torah. It was read because of the Brachot that are in Zota Bracha, which is relevant because on Yom HaShmini also, Shlomo HaMelech sends everybody home with a Bracha. And therefore it was thematically consistent, not because they're ending the Torah. It's only later on where the practice that we had in Bavel came out and then they made it a consistent practice that everybody finished the Torah on Shmini Atzeret, really on Simchat Torah, that practice began, that they changed the Haftorah to be the Haftorah from Yoshua. So what you're saying is correct, that there was actually a change, that the change of how the Torah was ended actually influenced which Haftorah we read. So Vayhi Acharei Mot Moshe is much more relevant when you're ending the Torah and you're reading Zot HaBracha on Shmini Atzeret or Simchat Torah because you're ending the Torah versus because you're reading Zot HaBracha because it's a bracha and nothing to do with the fact that you're ending the Torah there. So therefore, the Haftorah might be influenced by why you're reading Zot HaBracha on that day. So that happens to be true. You're right that change in how the Torah was read or the cycle of the Torah actually might have influenced which Haftorah that we read. I've mentioned this in the past. It's very interesting that Simchat Torah actually became a part of the holiday of Shmini Atzeret in Eretz Yisrael. Simchat Torah is clearly an invention of the Gola. It clearly developed in the Gola because they had 2 days of Shmini Atzeret. And they had to do something with Shmini Atzeret. So the first day was Shmini Atzeret. But you can't have 2 days of Shmini Atzeret. Because Shmini Atzeret is like, we spend a day alone with Hashem. It's a unique type of day where you can only really have 1 day like that. So they had to do something to thematically or to create something that enhanced the second day of Shmini Atzeret. And that became Simchat Torah, which is clearly something that developed in the Gola. Then when they come back to Eretz Yisrael, what ends up happening is that in Eretz Yisrael, where they don't have 2 days of Yom Tov, they end up combining it into a single day, which is Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, then get fused together into a single day. And the way that I describe it is that in Eretz Yisrael, Simchat Torah hijacked Shmini Atzeret. There is no more Shmini Atzeret in Eretz Yisrael. For people who grew up in Eretz Yisrael, they don't understand what you're talking about. But if you grew up or you had experience in Chutz Laretz, we experienced the days separately. Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah are different days, different thematically, and feel different. Yet in Eretz Yisrael, you never really get a Shmini Atzeret because it's been overran by Simchat Torah. So it's just interesting in terms of development that Simchat Torah, which is clearly from the Gola and is a later development, comes in the time of the Geonim, that it comes into place, that it only then comes back into the practices in Eretz Yisrael and influences Shmini Atzeret itself in Eretz Yisrael. Just happens to be just interesting historical development of the influence of the Gola back into Eretz Yisrael. We have some instances like that where the Gola actually dictates the practices of Eretz Yisrael, even though it makes no sense inside of Eretz Yisrael, and I've mentioned this in the past, that Sukkot, the holiday of Sukkot in general, has a number of these items. And this is one of those examples where the Gola has heavily influence over the practices in Eretz Yisrael. All right. Amar Avun Amar Rav, Shabbat Shechaliot Cholo Shomu'ed, Ben Pesach Ben Sukkot, Mikra Karina and Re'eata, Omer Eli. That is what we discussed before, that Shabbat Cholo Mu'ed, both in Pesach and Sukkot, we have the same reading, which is from Pashat Kitisa. And that's why we had to adjust the reading for Sukkot. It's easier because in Sukkot, we're not reading different parshiot every day. We're just reading from the Korbanot. So on that day, we read from Pashat Kitisa, and the Maftir is from the Korban of the Yom, like every other time. Whereas for Pesach, where we end up reading Pashat Kitisa as one of the parshiot, we'd mentioned before that we have to adjust it in order to ensure that it falls out on the Shabbat Chol HaMoed. Now, Afturei. So what about the Haftarot? So B'Pesach, the Haftarot of Chol HaMoed Shabbat is Hatzamot HaYeveshot from Yechezkel, the dry bones, which Yechezkel brings back to life. It's based on the Midrash that those dry bones were from Shevet Menashe, who tried to leave early from Shibud Mitzrayim before the time came, and they ended up being killed. And that's the Midrash about what those Hatzamot HaYeveshot are, so therefore it's relevant to Pesach. U'B'Sukkot, on Sukkot, we read B'Yom Ba'Gog U'Magog. So that's the Yom Ba'Gog is because the Zechariah, which we said before is the Haftarah for the first day of Sukkot, that Haftarah and Zechariah mentions the Milchama, mentions a battle. That battle is the Battle of Gog. So therefore, it's relevant to read about Yom Ba'Gog on Sukkot. I mentioned in the past, I think I did this when we were doing the Gemara in Sukkah, but it's also relevant that the Haftarah that we read is for Yom Ba'Gog. Gog is this enemy of God as well. And his name is Gog, roof. And we're reading him on this holiday of Sukkot where there is no roof. So that's an important factor also, which is that the whole holiday of Sukkot is that we have no roof over our heads. We're dependent on Hashem. And then here you have the evil side, which is known as Gog, who are the people that believe that there is a roof on top, meaning that they don't acknowledge Hashem as being that leader, don't acknowledge Hashem as being the one who directs everything. So that Gog or Gog is relevant on Sukkot because he is the opposite of what Sukkot represents. So now we move on to the rabbinic holidays, which is B'Chanukah. And Chanukah we read B'Nisiim, read the Nisiim for Pashat Naso, U'Maftirin, and then we have Haftarah B'Nirot Zechariah. We read from Zechariah, which talks about the Nevuah, about the Menorah, both because it's a piece of the Navi that talks about the Menorah, but also because it seems that the Chashmonaim, the Maccabim, believed that their conquering of the Greeks and the re-sanctification of the Mikdash, which was actually a kiyum of this nevuah of Zechariah, and that's very likely why they postponed the actual consecration to the 25th of Kislev, which is a relevant date within the Navi of Zechariah, in Haggai Zechariah, and therefore that's why they try to correlate it, and that would be a reason to read that Haftarah. V'Mikle Shtei Shabbatot, obviously there's a possibility that Chanukah, which is 8 days, can fall over to Shabbatot. Then, Kamaita b'Nirot Zechariah, the first Shabbat we read from Nirot Zechariah, B'Traita b'Nirot Shlomo. The second one we read from Nirot Shlomo, which is by Hiram and the building of the Mikdash and the Menorot that are there, which happens to be the Haftorah for Pashat Balotcha. So that's the part of the Haftorah for Pashat Balotcha, because the Menorah is mentioned in Pashat Balotcha. So that same Haftorah that we would read in Balotcha, we read as the second Haftorah for if you have a second Shabbat on Chanukah. Bipurim. Purim is no Haftorah, it's just laning, which is by Yavo Amalek, which is from Pashat Bishalach. Bereshei Chodoshim. On Rosh Chodesh, the reading is Bereshei Chodeshechem from Pashat Pinchas. Rosh Chodesh Chaliot Bishabbat. If Rosh Chodesh coincides with Shabbat, then Maftirin. What is the Haftorah that we read? So we read from the Perek in Yishayahu, Vaya Midei Chodesh Bechodesho, Shabbat Bishabbato. So again, a pasuk or a theme that is relevant of Chodesh and Shabbat. So that's what we read. Chaliot Bechad B'Shabbat, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Sunday, Etmol Maftirin, the day before we read the Haftorah, which is that Shabbat, Vayomer Lo Yonatan Machar Chodesh. So the story of Yonatan and David, and David's absence from the table with Shaul, and Shaul trying to kill him, and Yonatan protecting him. So they read about Machar Chodesh, that tomorrow is the Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, which is obviously what it is. That tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and that's what we read as Haftorah on a Shabbat that precedes Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, I agree. I think it is a Pirsum of Rosh Chodesh, a Pirsum of when Rosh Chodesh was falling out. Alright, it's Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says over here, this is relevant to us. These next Gemaras here are the period of time that we find ourselves in right now, which is Rosh Chodesh Av, Shechaliot B'Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh Av falls out on Shabbat itself, Maftirin. We read from Yishayu Aleph, which is Chodeshichem U'Moadechem Sanna Nafshi. Hayu Alay L'Torach. I hated your holidays and your Rosh Chodeshim. They were like a burden to me. My hayu alai the Torah. Why were they a burden to me? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Dayan lehem liyisrael shechutim lefanai. It's not enough. They're sinning. Elishu matrichim oti leida izig zeira kasha avilim. Now they're bothering me to figure out what bad thing I'm going to have to bring upon them. Now, b'tisha b'av gufei. On Tisha B'av itself, my maftirinan. What is daf Torah for Tisha B'av? Samrav, echa haita b'zona. Which is exactly from that parak in Yishayahu, parak aleph in Yishayahu. Echa, which obviously that play on the word Echa ita lezona, so that is appropriate to read as the Haftarah for Tisha B'Av. Mikra Mai, what is the Kriyata Torah for Tisha B'Av? Tanya, Achirim Omrim, V'im Lo Tish Me'uli, it's the Parsha of Klalot in Bechukotai in Sefer Vayikra, that if you don't listen to me, this is all the bad that's going to happen to you. Ronatan by Yosef Omer, Ad Anana Yenatsuni Ha'amazeh, both of those are psukim from the Miraglim. And we know that the first Tisha B'Av is precipitated by the return of the Miraglim on Tisha B'Av, that they bring the bad news, quote unquote, to the people. The people cry, and Hashem says, because atem b'chitem b'chia shel chinam, because you cried for no reason, I'm going to make this in a day of crying the dorot. So since that is the starter or the precipitator of this day of Tisha B'Av, therefore, it's relevant to read from the Miraglim. Amar Abaye, again, Abaye comes back, says, Vayidna Ahuga Amad Lemikre. What is the Minag Olam today to read? Is Kitolid Banim, Uvnei Banim, Noshantem Baretz, which is actually what we read on Tisha B'Av, Umaftirin Asof Asifim. And we read from Yirmiyahu Chet, because over there it talks about Kina and Bechi, crying and having the keynote, which are the relevant of the day, we read Sof Asifim as the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av itself, which last week when we had Tisha B'Av, that's the Haftorah that we read. The Tosfot over here, there's a large Tosfot over here which talks about the fact that our practice is not to do what the Gemara says over here. The Gemara here says that if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Rosh Chodesh Av falls out on Shabbat, you read from the first parak in Yishayahu. Now, that's not our practice. It's not our practice when Rosh Chodesh does not fall out on Shabbat. And it's not our practice when Rosh Chodesh does fall out on Shabbat. And he says, why is that? Vein anu osim kein, ella maftir b'Yirmiyahu, shimud var Hashem, u'b'Shabbat lifnei Tisha B'Av chazon Yishayahu. We read chazon Yishayahu, which is Perak Aleph. Perak Aleph Yishayahu is Shabbat chazon. It's Shabbat chazon, it's the Haftorah for Shabbat chazon, which is the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. Well, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av can never be Rosh Chodesh Av. So what do we read for Rosh Chodesh Av or before Rosh Chodesh Av? He says we read from Yirmiyahu, Shimud Dvar Hashem. We read from Yirmiyahu. Batam, what's the reason for all this? The Vishanu Nogim Al Pia Psikta. We follow the Psikta. Again, it's interesting here. There's so many times in this whole piece of the Gemara here that we do not follow the Gemara itself. We follow either Masechet Sofrim, we follow a Midrash, we follow the Psikta he's going to mention over here. And that it seems, again, that it was based on Minhag and some sort of evolutionary process by which we got to the conclusion of the Minhagim that we have today. And he says that in the Pia Psikta Lomar, Gimel de Pronuta Kodim Tisha B'Av, to read the three bad Haftarot before Tisha B'Av. Veluhain, what are the three bad Haftarot? Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, which are the first parak and the second parak in Yirmiyahu. And then Chazon Yishayahu. Chazon Yishayahu, which is Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. And that is our practice. Those are the three Haftarot that we read prior to Tisha B'Av. Ubatar Tisha B'Av. After Tisha B'Av, we read Shiva Denechemto, the seven Haftarot of consolation. Betarte de Tiyufta, and two of Tshuva. Ve'eluhain. And these are the Haftarot. Should be familiar to you, because we just read it on Shabbat. The first Shabbat is Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. So that's what we read as the Haftorah for the first Shabbat that is after Tisha B'Av, the Haftorah for Pashat et Chanan. Then we move on to the next week, and we read, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. That's the Haftorah for the next week. Then we read, Aniyas Sora Levada. And then we read, Anochi Anochi Umenachem Chem. Then we read, Rani Akara. Then we read, Kumi Ori. Then we read Sosa Sis, which are the Shiva Dinechemta. And then we read Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, and Shuva Yisrael added Hashem Elokecha, which is Shabbat Shuva. So we'll go through each of these. What's interesting here is in general, they follow the order of the Navi. Tosfot points out over here that even though in terms of order, Aniyah Sora comes before Rani Akara. Rani Akara, which is the Haftorah for Pashat Kiteitse, that generally that Haftorah, that Perek in Yishayahu is actually the Perek before Aniyah Sora, that we don't read it in order. Why don't we read it in order? Because he says that the Nechamot move in a increasing level of Nechama. In order to keep that progression, we don't actually follow the order of the Prokim. We follow the order of the increasing intensity of Nechama. He says that's why we change the order around. It actually turns out that the Haftorah for Pashat Kiteitse, which is Rani Akara, is also read as the Haftorah for Pashat Noach. And the Minhag Ashkenaz is actually to read Rani Akara and Aniyah Sora. We read both of them, and we read them in order there in Pashat Noach. Whereas here in Sefer Devarim, when we read it for Parshat Kiteitse and Parshat Re'eh, we read them out of order. So there you have the Shiva and the Chemta. Then the last two Haftarot are the Haftarot of Tshuva, which is Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, and Tshuva Yisrael at Hashem Elokecha. Now, that's interesting because it doesn't always work out to be this way. It depends on how the calendar falls out, whether we have it this way. Lefikach. So he says over here, when is that? Seder Zer Matchil Ben Pinchas. This all begins in Parshat Pinchas, which is where we begin the three Deprunanuta. And then we move launch into the Shiva de Nechemta. Now, depending on the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, we read from Pashat Sosa Sis in Atem Nitzavim, because that's the end of the Nechemta. Then we read Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo is after Ra for a Tanit. And when we read that on Tzom Gedalia. That's what Tosfot says. Read that on Tzom Gedalia. That's after Ra for Tzom Gedalia. And then Shuva Yisrael at Hashem Elokecha is the after Ra that we read for Shabbat Shuva, the one before Yom HaKippurim. And then he says, Kishiyei Shabbat ben Yom HaKippurim leSukkot. If you have a Shabbat, that turns out you have an extra Shabbat between Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot, Azavi Dirshu b'Shabbat Shlifnei Yom HaKippurim. Then you read Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo b'Shabbat before Yom Kippur. And because it says in it, Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, v'ayinu b'mei Tshuva. That's the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. B'Shuva, you read between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Because it says, in Atati Lecha Yireo Makosh, talks about the rain, talks about bringing the rain, which is the theme of Sukkot. So he says, which is not our practice, that if it turns out there are two Shabbatot in the beginning of Tishrei before Sukkot, then we read, the first one we read Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, and the second one we read Shuva Hashem Hashem Lekecha. So Shabbat Shuva will actually be after Yom HaKippurim, in that instance, the way that he has it laid out. And he says that Zeh Aminag Lo Yishtaneh Le'olam, this minag never changed, Al Pi HaPsikta, V'chein Perish Rabbeinu Tam. That's like Rabbeinu Tam. V'lo Kedivei Rav HaChuvel Hofech Mebabel. He messes everything up. Lomar Shuva Kodom Yom HaKippurim. That he wants to read Shuva Hashem Lekecha before Yom Kippur, to have Shabbat Shuva before Yom Kippur. V'sosa Sis, he reads between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So he reads Sosa Sis between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, because it's one of the Nechemta, because then he breaks up the Shiva and the Nechemta. So it turns out that that's not our practice. We keep the Shiva and Nechemta together. But when we do have the extra day in between, when they have the extra Shabbat in between, then we don't read Dirshu Hashem B'Yimatzo, which is the practice of some communities, but we actually read Shirat David for Hazinu as the Haftorah on that week, that extra week or the extra Shabbat between Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot. And then he says, V'ha ein anu maftirim chazon b'Shabbat shechal bo Rosh Chodesh Av. Why is it that we don't read the Haftorah like the Gemara says over here? He says, Mishum Dekaimilan, says it's a machloket in the Tanaim. Machloket Tanaim as to when the Avelut for Tisha B'Av begins. Does the Avelut begin from Shvua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av? Or does the Avelut begin from Rosh Chodesh Av? That was Rabbi Meir's opinion. And we paskin, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, we don't paskin like the Deya that it starts from Rosh Chodesh Av, we paskin like the Deya that it starts from Shvua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av. And therefore, the appropriate time to read Chazon Yishayahu is not on Rosh Chodesh Av, not starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, but rather from Shvua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. It's interesting today, because our minhag took it back to that old way, which is that the real Avelut, or the reading Dinim de Gemara, start only in Shvua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Our minhag now is to bring all those restrictions back to Rosh Chodesh Av. So we went back to that practice, but even though we still keep Chazon Yishayahu, Shabbat Chazon, as the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, because that is the real beginning of the Avilut and the intensity of the Avilut, with Shua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. And that's our practice, why it differs from what we did in the Gemara. And he says, V'chein Perish Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, V'kachanu Mavdirim Shimu, V'cheinanu Noagim Al Pi Masechet Sofrim, Shanu Kurim V'yichal B'taniyot. So he says, all of these things that we do are not following the Gemara, not following the Bavli, but rather following Masechet Sofrim and following the Psikta. We follow all of these other sources and not the Gemara itself. And that's why he says we justifies the practice or minhagim, even though they differ from that which is found in the Gemara. So now the Gemara continues over here. B'mamadot b'maseh breshit. The mamadot we read from maseh breshit. This already we spent a lot of time with in Masechet Tanit, which is v'nahani milei. How do we know that this is the relevant reading for the day? Amar Ami. Ilmalei mamadot. Had it not been. Here this is ilmalei with an aleph in it. Again, we learned from the Tosafot with an aleph means had it not been. The heavens and earth would not be in place. It was not for my covenant day and night. The chukot, the natural laws, the nature of the heavens and earth, I would not have kept in place. And it says, Abram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how am I know I'm going to inherit the land? So first of all, there's this connection between the Brit, the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Yomam V'Laila. We also know that Torah is V'Gita Bo Yomam V'Laila. So there's something to do with the Torah, reading of the Torah, that keeps the Chukot Shemayim V'Aretz in place. Then, how do we know that that's relevant to the Korbanot? That's based on the next piece here, which is from Avram Avinu, which is K'tiv Ayom Hashem Elokim V'Amai Adai Kirishenu. Hashem promises Avram the land. He says, how do I know I'm going to inherit it? So Amar Avram Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ibn Shalom. Shema chas v'shalom Yisrael chutim lefanecha. Maybe Bnei Yisrael are going to sin. V'ata oseh lehem k'dor mabul k'dor pelaga. That you're going to punish them like the dor mabul k'dor pelaga, and it's all going to go by the wayside. Amar lo lav. Says, nah, that's not going to happen. So Hashem says, no. So Amar lefanav, ribono shalom, b'me'eda. How do I know that Bnei Yisrael are guaranteed that even when they sin, they still will be protected, and they will not lose the covenant, and things will stay in place? So Amar lo. Khali eglamishuleshit. That is the Brit Ben of Tarim. He says, take the animals and then cut them into pieces. And as Rashi says over here, and that's what the Gemara is focusing on over here, which is that it represents or hinting to the fact that the korbanot will be that protection. So Amalaf and Abi Shalom, Tinach Bizman Shabbat Mikdash Kayam. That works well when there's a Beit Mikdash that is extant. You can bring korbanot. And when the big mish is not extant, then what is going to happen to them? They have no protection. Say their korbanot. So I already established that when they read Unishalma Parim Sfateino, that when we read the Parshayot HaKorbanot, it's the equivalent of bringing the korbanot, and that will provide us with the forgiveness that we need in order to maintain our right to Eretz Yisrael and our right to the land itself. And I mentioned this before when we did this in Masechet Tanit, that I heard from Rabbi Willig and others suggest that in a time when there is trouble in Eretz Yisrael, when there are questions about our ownership of the land, our right to the land, and there are wars or battles going on, that one of the things that we should try to do is be machzik our kriya of the korbanot, davening of the korbanot that we say in the morning instead of skipping the korbanot, to read the korbanot and to say the korbanot, because we see here that this was fundamental part of the Brit Ben Abtarim and how Avram Avinu gets a guarantee from Hashem that we're going to keep the land. And so it's kedai for us to be double our efforts in terms of reading the korbanot in order to give ourselves that extra protection or that extra help from Hashem that we should be able to hold on to the land. So again, that the mamadot, which are Bnei Yisrael coming to bring the korbanot, so that we see there's a correlation between that and the kiyum of Shemayim V'aretz, keeping the Shemayim V'aretz around. So therefore, it's relevant to read Maseh Breshit as the Kriyat HaTorah for the mamadot, the time that Bnei Yisrael are coming up to represent the different parties are all Bnei Yisrael in the korbanot. So that draws the connection between Maseh Breshit and the korbanot. as well as the connection between our right to the land and the korbanot, that the korbanot also guarantee us our right to the land. It almost reminds us of the Rashi, Amar Rav Yitzchak, in the beginning of Parashat Breshit, where, why doesn't the Torah start from a Chodesh Azelachem? It starts from Maseh Breshit, so that everybody knows Hashem created the world and He can grant the land to whomever He wants. So that's exactly that. That's the determination of who the rights of the land of Israel belong to, is to the Klal Yisrael, because Hashem granted him those rights to Eretz Yisrael, and He's the owner of everything. He's the one who created everything. And so again, here, this idea of this correlation between Korbanot, creation, and Bnei Yisrael's right to the land of Israel. All right, B'taniyot, on fast days we read Brachot v'Klalot, Vein Mefsikim v'Klalot. Menahani Mile. How do you know that you shouldn't interrupt in the middle of the Klalot? If you're going to read the Klalot, how do you know that you do that in one Aliyah without any interruption? So Amar Rav Chiya b'Gamdo, Amar Rabbi Asi d'Amar Kroa. Musar Hashem b'ni al tim'as. Do not reject, do not despise the Musar of Hashem. And then the pasuk continues, v'al tikotz b'toch atato, and do not reject, or again, be disgusted with his tochecha. So from here, one of two ways to learn it is either Musar Hashem al timas, don't reject it, don't make it disgusting your eyes, the Musar Hashem. How do you do that? You read all the klalot at once. If you make a break in the middle, it makes it look like it's a burden on you, and that's why you're breaking it up. So how do we say that we're accepting the Musar of Hashem? As we read it straight through. So that is the reason that's given by Rav Asi. The Yerushalmi brings a second reason, or Masechet Sofrim brings another reason. Rashi quotes it, Tosafot quotes it, which is that they learn it out in the second half of the pasuk, which is Al Takutz B'Toch HaChato, is Al Tasu Kotzim Kotzim. Don't make it into little brambles or little thorns, Psakim Psakim, Lashon Ktsitsa, cutting it up into pieces. Don't cut up the klalot into pieces from the latter half of the pasuk. Either way, that's the lima that's brought by him. Reish Lakish Amar, the Fishein Omrim, Bracha LaPuranut. It's not right to say a brocha on something that is negative. That Tosfot here brings an additional item, which is that Hashem says that, Imo Anochi Bitzara, I'm in with the pain of Bnei Yisrael, I'm together with them. And if I'm together with their pain, then it's inappropriate to say a brocha on the klalot, because Hashem's in pain with us in that point, and therefore we wouldn't say a bracha. So, Heichi Ovid. Well, we have to read that part of the Torah. How do you deal with it? So Tanach Shu Matchil Matchil B'Pasuk Shelifneihem. When you start reading the Klalot, you start from the Pasuk beforehand. Shu Mesayim Mesayim Pasuk Achrayim. Then you finish up with the Pasuk afterwards. As Tosafot says, that's Lav Dafka. Doesn't mean literally the Pasuk before, because it's a beginning, it's the end of a Parsha. The beginning of a Parsha, you can't do that. But it just means that we start a little before the Klalot, and we end up a little bit after the Klalot, in order to prevent that problem. And therefore, you can say a Bracha on it, because the Bracha goes, there's Chal, on the good stuff, the stuff that you read before and the stuff that you read afterwards. Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu Ela B'Klalot Shebetorat Kohanim. This requirement that you do not interrupt the Klalot is only true in the Klalot that come in Sefer Vayikra. Ava Klalot Shemishna Torah, the Klalot that are found in Sefer Dvarim, Posek, you're allowed to break them up. My Taima, what's the reasoning? Halalo Bishon Rabim, Amurot. The ones in Sefer Vayikra are written in plural for the Klal. Moshe mipia gvura amran, and they're said as a relay from Moshe to Bnei Yisrael in the name of Hashem. It's Hashem who spoke them, and then the quote in the Torah is written in the first person, and this is what Hashem says: I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do this to you. If you don't do this, I do this. If you don't do this, it says if you olchem imi bekeri, afani olchem mechem bekeri. If you go and say everything's happenstance, I'll make it look like happenstance, and I'll punish you as well. It's all written in the first person as if Hashem is speaking directly to Bnei Yisrael, and that's what's conveyed there. It's also written in the plural. Falalo, the ones that are found in Mishneh Torah, found in Sefer Devarim, are B'lashon Yachid. They're written in the singular form. Amurot u'Moshe mipiatzmo amran. And they're Moshe himself speaking. It's not that Hashem is speaking directly in the first person. It's a third person structure where Moshe is explaining what's going to happen to them. And as Tosafot says over here, that Moshe said it, B'ruach HaKodesh. It's different than the other, either parts of the Torah, or the Klalot in Sefer Vayikra, which is here, Moshe is doing it be Ruach HaKodesh, and not as a direct transmission of what Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael. Levi Barbuti, Havakari, he was reading the Klalot, V'kam Gam Game, and he was stuttering over them. He was having trouble completing them. He was trying to rush through them and not so comfortable with them. So he was doing this, Kamei the Rav Huna. Be'arure, he was doing this before Rav Huna in the Tochacha or the Arurot of Sefer Dvarim. Amar lo, Aknafshach, He says, look, if it's very difficult for you, you can pause. Because the only restriction against pausing is in Vayikra. If you want to stop here, you can stop. If it's too difficult for you to go all the way through, whether this is difficult because of the emotional feelings that he was having about it, that it was difficult to read all of these klalot, or it was just difficult because it's very long and difficult reading. So he says to them, you're allowed to stop over here because this is the klalot of Mishneh Torah of Sefer Dvarim. Even though our practice, again, is not to break them up, similar to what we do for Yikra, in Sefer Dvarim we also don't break them up, which is somewhat akin to the answer that was given by Reish Lakish, is that when we make a bracha, we want to make a bracha on good things and not on bad things. So how do we prevent that problem? Is by having the aliyah extend or start before the klalot and end with some sort of form of nechama, so therefore you can make the bracha on that aliyah without worrying about it that the bracha is on the klalot. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ezra tikem lahen leYisrael shiukorim klalot shibetorat kohenim kodem atzeret ushibimishneh Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah. So Ezra established that you would read Parshat Bechukotai before Shavuot, and that you'd read Parshat Kitavo before Rosh Hashanah. My time. What's the reason for this? So the previous year should end off with all of its curses. And the truth is, it's really not about reading it before the end of the year. It's really not reading at the beginning of the next year. You don't want to read it at the beginning of the next year because you want to start out the year with a curse, or you want to start out with something bad. So how do you do that? You make sure you finish the previous year with all of its curses. But it's also thematically a nice idea that you try to finish off the other year with all the bad stuff, and now you're going to start with a fresh, clean slate in the new year. There's actually a song that many of the Machzorim have in the Machzorim of Rosh Hashanah that some communities sing on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, Achot Kitana, where the refrain is actually this, which is, the previous year should end, and the new year should come in with its bracha. That's actually the refrain that is found in that song, or that pizmon that they say prior to the davening of Rosh Hashanah. Where it says, Bishlama shu Mishneh Torah, those that are found in Sefer Dvarim, that makes sense when you're talking about Rosh Hashanah, that you want to finish off the bad stuff before Rosh Hashanah. In Sefer Vayikra, Bechukotai, Atu Atzeret Rosh Hashanah? Since when is Shavuot Rosh Hashanah? Where it says in, Atzeret Nami Rosh Hashanah. Atzeret Shavuot is also Rosh Hashanah Ditzan. Ubatzeret Al Perot Ha'ilan. That Atzeret is Rosh Hashanah for the fruits of the tree. I mean, we learned this in the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that there are numerous times of the year that are called Rosh Hashanah. Happens to be that Shavuot is also a Rosh Hashanah. Now, the fact is that it's only true when you're reading this cycle, when you have a single cycle reading, where you finish everything in an annual cycle, does this turn out. When they were either not on an annual cycle, they're on the triannual cycle, or they were finishing off the Torah at different time periods, then obviously this would not necessarily be true. It might be generically true, which is that whenever we read a Tochacha that's coming up to a holiday, we try to finish it before that holiday, because each of the holidays has a status as a Rosh Hashanah of something. Tosafot takes up this issue, and once again, our practice is not like this. Our practice is not to do what the Gemara says over here. We do not read Bechukotai right before Shavuot, and we do not read Kitavo right before Rosh Hashanah. We actually put a Parsha in between. We always read Parshat Bamidbar before Shavuot. Sometimes it turns out we also read Parshat Naso beforehand, but we for sure read Parshat Bamidbar before Shavuot. And we always read after Kitavo, Parshat Nitzavim and Nitzavim Vayelech before Rosh Hashanah. So the question is why? So Tosfos would ask that question over here. His question is a very stark question, especially for people who are Balei Kriya. He says, I don't understand. Shalu bebe midrash Rabbeinu Nisim, lama mechalkim Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech l'shnayim? Why do they divide up Nitzavim Vayelech into two parshiot? Meaning that when it turns out we have an extra Shabbat, we split Nitzavim Vayelech. Instead of reading them together, Nitzavim Vayelech, we read Nitzavim and Vayelech, which are short. They're both 35 psukim long. Ukshiyeh beit Shabbatot ben Rosh Hashanah Sukkot, v'loyim ha-kipurim, v'ein mechalkim matot maase. Wouldn't it be much better to split up matot maase, which is like massive parsha when you put them together? Why don't we do that? Sharukot, yoter, that are much longer. So v'eshiv, the answer was, l'fi shivatem Nitzavim yesh klalot. Says, because Nitzavim also includes Klalot, Shekila l'Yisrael, B'yotzei l'Saimam Kodem Rosh Hashanah. We want to get them out of the way before Rosh Hashanah. So then Tosafot says, V'kasha. So wait a minute. We don't think about the Klalot, Shekila Moshe Yisrael. We don't worry about those. In addition to that, then why do we read Parshat Hazinu? Parshat Hazinu also has a certain amount of Klalot in it. So why don't we make sure we finish Hazinu before Rosh Hashanah? So he says, that can't be the reason over here. The kach nira li atam. This is the reason for our practice, which is, shana machukim otem lefi, shana rotzim lafsik, v'likrot shabbat achat kon Rosh Hashanah pasha, shalot tehei medaber beklalot klal. We want to read something softer before Rosh Hashanah, shalot atzmik klalot to Rosh Hashanah. Not only do we want to finish up the curses before Rosh Hashanah, we also want to push them a little back so they're not adjacent to Rosh Hashanah. So we put in a buffer parsha between Rosh Hashanah and the klalot. And that's why our practice comes from. That's why we read Parsha Bamidbar before Shavuot. So that's what Tosfot said. Tosfot says that our practice is, again, against the Gemara, in a sense, against Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar over here, that our practice is to put in a buffer parsha in order that we end off the year with the klalot, but we don't end up right before the Rosh Hashanah, we ended up a little before that. So that's where our practice comes from. Over here, he brings the Lamdeno Parsha Titro, it brings from the Tanchuma in Parsha Titro, that a person who is going to read the Parsha, a person who's going to lane, should make sure he reviews the Parsha at least three times before he lanes. And then he says, Vasuli smoch ala bima. And you're not allowed to lean on the bima. When you're reading the Torah, you're not allowed to lean your weight on the bima because you have to be standing. Because just like when the Torah was given, it was given while you were standing, so too the Kriyat HaTorah and Shul is a reenactment in some sense of the Matan Torah. And therefore the parties that are around the bima have to stand up, like the way that people have to stand. But Mamad Har Sinai, they stood up, so too they have to stand around the bima. It was brought here as a sidebar by Tosafot, so I'm mentioning it. Now the Gemara continues, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, so this is another memra from Shimon Elazar, and that's why it's brought over here. Omer, Im Yom Rulu Chazakinim Stor, if the elders tell you to break something, destroy something, Viladim Bnei, and the youngsters tell you to build, Stor Valtivne. Says, break it down, destroy, and do not build. Sometimes the destruction that this genim suggests is really building. And the building of the youth is actually a destructive force. V'siman ledavar, how do you know to remember this? It's from Rechavam ben Shlomo. Rechavam ben Shlomo is the story about Rechavam ben Shlomo when the other Shvatim, in a sense, break away from Yehuda and Binyamin, led by Yerovam ben Nevat. They come and they rebel, and then they come to a head in Shechem. And now they say, listen, this is what the problem is. You're taxing us too hard. You're not treating us properly. We want you to rectify the situation. So Rechavam says, okay, let me take counsel with my advisors and I'll tell you my answer. So he goes to get advice. The elders tell them, okay, they're right. The people are right. Give in to the people. That's what the people from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech's advisors tell you, Rechavam, listen, you know, they're right. The people are right. Give them a little and they'll stay with you and it's worthwhile. The youngsters say, you know what? These people, they're being insolent. They're trying to undermine your power. If you let them get away with this, they're going to get away with murder. You tell them that you think it's bad when my father Shlomo was there, I'm going to make it 10 times worse under me. Now you're going to know what really bad means. And that's what he says. And Rechavam follows the advice of the youngsters, the young whippersnappers. And we know what happens in the end. That causes the pilug ha-melacha, that causes the break of the kingdom between Yehuda and Israel. And that's caused because Rechavam takes the advice of the youngsters. And that's what it says over here. Sometimes to back down and to do something that is less so ends up being better for you. That's what this Kenyan was suggesting versus the youngsters who said, no, do more and force more. It ends up being a destructive force. It ends up losing him everything instead of keeping everything had he listened to the Zekeinim. So that's why Rechavam ben Shlomo is the example of this. Wherever we stop on Shabbat Shacharit, that's where you start reading on Mincha on Shabbat. Mincha, wherever you stop at Mincha on Shabbat, Sham Korim B'Sheni, that's where you pick up on Monday. B'Sheni, wherever you are on Monday, Sham Korim B'Chamishi, that's what you pick up on Thursday. Chamishi, wherever you finish off on Thursday, Sham Korim LeShabbat Haba'ah, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says we don't repeat anything. It's just we read on a continuous basis. Each piece is mutually exclusive. Whatever we read on that day, the next time we read, we pick up from wherever we left off last time. Rabbi Yehuda says this is which is our practice. Makom Shemasukim B'Shabbat Shacharit. When you finish reading on Shabbat morning, Sham Korim B'Mincha. That's where we start reading at Mincha time. U'B'Sheni U'B'Chamishi. That's where we read on Shabbat Mincha, Monday, Thursday. Ula Shabbat Abba, and that's what we start from in the following Shabbat. Again, that's our practice. Amar Rabbi Zeira Alocha. This is Alocha. Makom Shemasukim B'Shabbat Shacharit. Sham Korim B'Mincha B'Sheni B'Chamishi L'Shabbat Abba. So when it says, V'leim halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, why don't you just say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, instead of saying, this is the halacha, Yishom the apchilu. There was some other brayta that quoted the positions in reverse between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, so he just stated what the halacha is, so you don't get confused. Okay, we'll stop over here.